name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. When we look at the reading from Sirach, the wisdom of Sirach, the message is that there is a cost to human pride. And I was certainly taught as a youngster, don't be prideful. So that wasn't hard for me to understand. From the book to the Hebrews, the author said to let mutual love continue, to show hospitality, to honor marriage, to be content with what we have. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus was telling a parable to really make the point that humility is what our following Christ is all about. Humility is what brings honor to God. That one was a little harder for me to work out, and I found out it was a vocabulary problem I had to work out in order to get it straight in my mind. So that's part of what I want to share with you this morning, and then what to do about it. I remember in my first years in Silicon Valley, moving out here as an electrical engineer, I was in my mid-30s, and I sat down and had this deep discussion with a friend of mine about how each of us was going to climb the corporate ladder. You know, we were going to hold back and not become a president of anything for at least a couple of years, so we figured we would just strategize how we were going to make that happen. And we got talking about how we make that next step to the next job promotion. What would it take to do? And in that discussion, I got envisioning all the wonderful things I would do to manage the company better than it was being managed now. It was a very rewarding discussion for me. I thought I did a wonderful job. But then I said, but of course, that really can't happen. It's not going to happen for years because I just don't have enough experience. And this friend of mine had the response to me, can you seriously underestimate the skills that you have? And that just hit me between the eyes to have somebody say that to me. And it's something that I have replayed in my mind forever, because what I realized was that I had sadly confused the idea of humility with low self-esteem. And there's a huge difference between the two. And I was suffering from low self-esteem because that's how I was brought up. You're supposed to. That's how you're a good person. You have low self-esteem. Wrong. And what my faith tradition really did was help me understand, what does humility actually look like? So Jesus was challenging these people coming to dinner, saying, you know, instead of vying for the most honored position at the dinner table, you know, it's like when I grew up, my dad always sat at the end of the table, right? And he was the one who would load up the plates for each child, deciding how much they were going to eat. And we couldn't leave the table until it was eaten. So that position represented authority, right? I knew I was going to have to eat those liver and onions, whether I liked it or not. No. I'm just saying, that's authority, that's power, right? And so Jesus was really saying, that's not how you really earn authority. And that's not the kind of authority God wants us to have in life. But instead, by us showing humility, by our being submissive in our servanthood towards others, we're going to have the greater glory in the end. Richard Foster wrote a book that I've mentioned to you before, and I brought it today so that maybe at coffee hour you want to take a look at it. But I've done an adult study on this, and it is only about a 30 or 40 year old book, but it's considered one of Christianity's greatest writings. It was bestseller for a long time. And what he's discussing in this is, what are the kinds of spiritual disciplines that we can place in our lives that are going to open us up to really be in that flow of God's grace? And he's saying we can celebrate those disciplines. They're not hardships. They're things that we can train ourselves to do that really open up freedom in our lives, freedom in our spiritual journeys. Well, one of them is one that he calls the spiritual discipline of submission. Can you imagine? Doesn't that name just kind of curl the hair on your neck? But when you read the description, he's really talking about humility. He's talking about humility. And he said, you know, part of the freedom that that spiritual discipline provides for us is that we can get rid of the terrible burden of always having to get our own way. Because the problem is, if we are committing ourselves that we always have to get our own way, two things happen. One is, many times we will fail at our objective. We are not going to get our own way. And our response to not getting our own way is, we get angry. And if we get angry, it's probably not going to end well for anybody, right? And so it sets us up for failure. The second is, the second fallacy with getting our own way is that it actually puts us in a place above the other person. It is not about submitting to another person's betterment, but instead trying to defeat them. So someone becomes the winner and someone becomes the loser. That's not how we build relationships, not healthy relationships. And that's the issue we've talked about in other homilies, and James and I have talked about this a lot. The prime charge we have as Christians to honor relationships above everything. And we do that from a position of humility. So in my faith journey, I ended up realizing it was very important to understand that humility is a spiritual discipline. Low self-esteem is not. And it's a dysfunction that we need to cure ourselves of. Humility honors our station as children of God. And Jesus modeled the power of humility, didn't he? If he's a pattern for our life, we can look at the ways he demonstrated humility. He chose humanity. That was a pretty good step of humility. He washed the disciples' feet, one of them being Judas, the person who betrayed him. That's certainly humility. He went to the cross. That's certainly humility. There are clear examples of humility versus low self-esteem. There was no low self-esteem problem with Jesus. It was about him showing humility. Okay, so how do we do this? Part of what's buried in this book, under that one discipline of submission equals humility, here are seven ways, and they're very brief, but let me pose these to you for something to reflect on, how it shows up in your life and in your spiritual journey. One is submission to God, and that means that we turn everything to God in prayer. It's not just waiting till there's really something humongo and then try to figure out how to talk to God, but we talk to God all the time. Right, it's in the morning and in the evening and during the day to be in conversation with God and learn how to submit ourselves to God and say, God, for whatever it's worth to you, I submit myself to you today. Do with me as you want. I hand myself over to you. That's submission to God. Submission to Scripture is saying this is the Word of God. This is now 5,000 years of tradition of people understanding our relationship with God. Let's submit ourselves to what it says and see how to apply it to our lives. Submission to our family, listening to family members, which typically means, well, when I was a kid, I meant my dad was supposed to put the newspaper down. That didn't happen. Instead, I was told, if your dad's reading the newspaper in the living room, don't go into the living room. Well, in these days, I guess it would mean if I'm on my smartphone, making sure I've got the latest post on Facebook, put it down when my wife wants to talk to me. Put it down when my granddaughter is visiting. Put it down when somebody has stopped by to play guitar. You know, it's important for us to submit to those relationships and yield the authority away from Facebook or whatever it is. I wrote another note here too. Part of submission that I really do want to share this with you is my learning that it did not make me a weaker husband. It did not make me a dysfunctional father to be able to say, I'm sorry. I never heard those statements from my parents, but I learned as an adult to say that to my children when I just plain blew it. And to admit it, That's humility. That's humility. It's not low self-esteem. Okay, submission to a believing community is including spontaneous little gifts of service. And an example I thought of was in the preschool that I was head of school in San Jose. There was a grandfather who brought his granddaughter to school 2 days of the week, and he started seeing some flowers needed watering. Well, he ended up making the commitment, even after his daughter had graduated from preschool, for 2 years, 2 days a week. For 2 years, 2 days a week, he came to water the flowers just so they would look nice and just to be a service to the school because he appreciated the school. And there are so many silent servers here that I can't name their names out loud because then they wouldn't be silent servers, but they're here all over the place. And that is humility in action. Another is submission to broken and despised among us. And so we think about how we can serve at the food bank, how we can serve at the homeless shelter, how we can serve at Chamberlain's. And it's not about being above. It's about being humble and wanting to share whatever gifts we have. Last one I have is submission to the world, to live as a responsible member of an increasingly irresponsible world. Just because it's irresponsible doesn't mean it's okay for us to be. And so we need to take that responsibility to be submissive and to be humble members of our world. So humility is valuing our relationships so much that we place those relationships higher than having to get our own way. Humility is not the same as low self-esteem. Humility matters to God because it honors God. Humility honors God's love for us. Humility acknowledges where the source of the strength and the gifts and all those things come from. What is the source? And humility demands that we honor one another. So in these ways, we end up thinking like the servant Jesus Christ. And when we think like Jesus, we are transformed. Amen.